Hey, everyone, and thank you for joining us here at IED Sports. Today, we're doing a 2021 projections for the Las Vegas Raiders. All this time, Steve, and I still have Oakland on the tip of my tongue whenever I go to record this.
Well, it's going to take a while. We've known them as the Oakland Raiders for years, and you know, they've only been Vegas for now it's going to be the second season, so it's going to take a while. We'll forgive you.
Let's start with the quarterback position. We have Derek Carr. Last year, Derek Carr finished as quarterback 13. While he's not a superstar, he's also far from a liability. 17.57 points per game is useful, especially in super flex formats. Mm-hmm. Specifically, what I liked is his 101.4 passer rating and cleaning up his fumbles, going from six straight games at the end of the year after fumbling 11 over his first 11 games. Mm-hmm. Tale of two seasons really cleaned that up. He had three bad games under 10 points, but also only had three other games under 15 points. So he found some consistency and played well through most of the season. Currently, I have Derek Carr, 4,400 passing yards, 26 touchdowns in 7 interceptions. That has him as quarterback 20 on the 2021 season. Steve, what do you have for Derek Carr?
Derek Carr is currently quarterback 30 with an ADP of 1411. He's been drafted as high as the 13th round, but obviously he goes undrafted in quite a few leagues.
Now, I have to assume that that's because there are people who are skeptical that he's going to play 17 games next season. I think Mariota is an okay quarterback. I think Carr's an okay quarterback. I don't see a reason to switch necessarily. So for where I am, I think Derek Carr is a value. I have him about 10 spots over where his ADP is going to be. Add a game this season, add some higher powered offenses, and I think Derek Carr falls from 13 to 20, not because he gets any worse or because his situation changes, just because there's going to be more guys in that mid-tier there.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a buy on Carr as well. You know, like we talked about a few weeks ago, he has he finished as a top 15 quarterback last year because he had the better weapons and such. And, you know, I'm fully with you in two quarterback leagues and super flex leagues. Derek Carr is a must have. But, you know, in the standard PPR, half PPR leagues, you know, he is relegated to a waiver wire grab.
Yeah, I think that that's about right. Now, if you look at the other quarterbacks that he's going around, he's being drafted after Goff, Cam Newton, Daniel Jones. And while I think that some of those players may be valuable and may have some breakout potential, they don't have the floor that Derek Carr has, and that kind of, I think, makes him a value for where he's going in drafts. Derek Carr.
Personally, for me, the only person I would take over him is Daniel Jones. I think Daniel Jones has a little more upside than Derek Carr. I'd definitely take him over Cam Newton, and who was the other one? Jared Goff. I'd definitely take him over Jared Goff.
Yeah, so I think that his price is, maybe we'll even settle on appropriate. But we got to move on and talk about some running backs, because this is where it gets interesting here, because we have Josh Jacobs, the budding superstar from years past. Everyone had high hopes for him during last fantasy season. It seemed like we were all terribly disappointed, but Josh Jacobs finished running back 8 last season with 14.3 points per game. However, 31 of his 214 points scored were in a 3-touchdown game week 1 versus Carolina. Definitely trailed off with the disappointing fantasy playoffs. 7.4 points in week 14, 6.9 points in week 16. I still have him as the go-to guy in 2021. I project him to have 265 carries for just under 1,100 yards. Also have him with 15 total touchdowns, which I know it's a lot, but that's what my projections came out to. Steve, what do you have for Josh Jacobs, running back for the Los Angeles? Vegas Raiders.
Yeah, Jacobs is RB16 with an ADP of 304. He's going as high as the first round in 112, but he's also going as low as the third round in at the end of the third round.
Yeah, so I have Josh Jacobs at running back 11. Might seem high, but he was running back 8, so that's only a few spots back. His ADP is double that, and I think it's recency bias of teams remembering. And I think it's because they brought in Kenny and Drake and people are a little afraid. However, Josh Jacobs has always had other players in the system. He's never been the lone wolf there. I like it. I think he's a value.
Josh Jacobs for me is a running back I always want to love, but something is always in the way, like whether it be injury or opportunity. You know, everybody knows my long-standing hate for Chris Carson. You know, Josh Jacobs isn't in that range, but he's also not like in my absolute love with like Nick Chubb. Like, I absolutely love Nick Chubb. For me, he's like that Austin Eckler or Joe Mixon type player where you know the talent's there, you know the opportunity is there, and you want him to succeed, but you always just have to proceed with caution.
Absolutely. I love that a ton. Like I said, Kenyon Drake was brought in, but last year this time it was Theo Riddick and Jalen Richard and all these other guys. So
yeah,
Josh Jacobs is the guy. Kenyon Drake is going to steal some touches, and let's talk about him next.
Yeah.
I don't know how Kenyon Drake quite fits in the puzzle, but I'm right now having him at 105 carries and 40 targets. I'm scoring 105 total fantasy points, but I really need some preseason reps, some camp articles, some insider news to let me really pull the trigger on Kenyon Drake. Where's he going now in draft, Steve?
He's running back 35 in the eighth round, high as the fifth round, but that was probably before he signed with the Raiders, and as low as 905.
Yeah, so I have Kenyon Drake at running back 44. That's going to be a no thanks for me because he's being drafted almost 9 spots higher than where I have him drafted. However, and I'm going to say this out there, if you're looking at your roster and you don't have a lot of risk and you don't have these handcuff guys, Kenyon Drake could easily become that. If something were to happen to Josh Jacobs, I could plug Kenyon Drake in and see him being valuable at some point during the 2021 season. And around where he's going in drafts, you got guys like Jeff Wilson, Philip Lindsay that are never going to be that. So I don't love Kenyon Drake, but I like where he's going and what he could become. He's got upside.
Yeah, he has upside, you know, and I see him as a flex play, especially at running back 35, but I wouldn't take him until maybe the 10th round. I say that, you know, you projected 15 touchdowns for Josh Jacobs, but I can reasonably see Kenyon Drake, because he was the main touchdown. He was the main guy who was carrying for the touchdowns for the Cardinals, you know. So because he was the goal line back. Kenyon
Drake to me has always been built like a wide receiver. I think he's 6'1", 212 pounds. So Josh Jacobs 5'10", 220, just a bowling ball. I like Kenyon Drake. Let's see what he can do. Let's move on to Henry Ruggs, who had a huge up-and-down rookie season, featured only one game over 100 yards and only three games over 50 yards, not quite what we expected going into the 2020 season. It's obviously Ruggs isn't the true number one receiver on this squad, but I do have him with targets because someone's got to catch the ball on this team. I have him with 90 targets, 50 receptions, 916 yards, and 6 touchdowns. Steve, what do you have for Henry Ruggs?
Ruggs is wide receiver 55 with an ADP, get this, in the 12th round. He is at a high of the 7th round, but he's also been low as the 15th round.
I guess I have to buy there. I don't love it, but someone's got to touch the ball besides Darren Waller, and Henry Ruggs has the draft capital. He didn't put it together last season, but there's another opportunity here. I think Carr is going to spread the ball out a little bit, and Henry Ruggs, it's got to be someone. We're going to talk about the other three receiving threats kind of all together. We're going to lump them together. But if Henry Ruggs is the number one on this team, it's not an invaluable situation. He's there for me. I have him, like I said, 39. He's going 55. That's 15 points. That's a full round of value.
Okay, so here's the thing. I'm going to throw out four wide receiver names, and we'll go about it one at a time, and you tell me who you would rather have. Mike Williams or Henry Ruggs?
Mike Williams.
Marvin Jones or Henry
Ruggs?
Marvin
Jones.
Oh, I would take Henry Ruggs over that. Michael Gallup or Henry Ruggs?
Henry Ruggs.
I'd go there too. Mecole Hardman or Henry Ruggs?
Mecole Hardman.
See that?
I think what it is, I think Ruggs has kind of a floor. Like they have to try him out. They have to give him the ball at some point. But some of those other guys like Hardman, if Tyreek Hill goes down, Hardman has the ceiling. So that to me is the battle. Henry Ruggs isn't just, I just don't like the pick, but maybe it's like biscuits and gravy. Like, you know, it's a part of your meal.
Yeah, I see. I think that Henry Ruggs really helped open up this offense last year, because I'm trying to remember the game. There was one game where he had like two catches for like 100 yards or something like that. Like, he had some ridiculous game with two catches.
Yes, one game, the only game he had 100 yards. That
yeah.
one.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was hurt a lot of the year. So, you know, welcome to the NFL. I mean, a sophomore bounce back, that is definitely within the realm of
possibility. It's definitely within the realm of possibility. But we do have some other threats here, and we got to talk about those too. Because you have John Brown, Bryan Edwards, and Hunter Renfrow in the mix. I don't think any of these guys here should necessarily be owned, but I do think Hunter Renfrow offers kind of a nice safety valve for Derek Carr. I have Brown at 125. Renfrow at 101 and Edwards at 81. That is total points scored through the season. For me, this is wide receiver no man's land. It's going to be a no thank you in almost every situation.
Yeah, the only one that I saw, that was ranked was John Brown at wide receiver 57 with the ADP of 1207, going as high as the 11th round and as low as the 15th. I would actually take the chance on John Brown. You know, we saw Nelson Agholor. We saw Nelson Agholor have a very solid season with the Raiders last year, and John Brown and Nelson Agholor are basically the same players. It's just that John Brown has better hands, you know, and won't, you know,
but he's got arthritis at this point in his career. He's supposed to be a speedster. He's going to be 31 years old. It's not for me. I understand the appeal of John Brown, because we've all been in love with John Brown during one season or another, but I mean, he's been a pro for nine years.
Yeah, but, you know, he's a last round flyer. 70. He still has speed. You know, he could still run crisp routes. I'd take the chance on him.
Let's move to the true number one wide receiver, and this is where we're going to finish up today, talking about the Las Vegas Raiders. That is Darren Waller. Waller's one of my favorite NFL players. We saw in Hard Knocks, Gruden loves him. He designs plays for him, exactly. Not for the tight end, for Darren Waller. He knows what his skill set is. He's a big guy. I have him at 135 targets, 104 receptions, which is incredibly efficient, 1,216 yards, and 7 touchdowns. Steve, Darren Waller.
Tight end, too. I mean, that's no surprise there. It's between him and Kittle for that top, you know, two or three spot. Now his ADP is 209, but like Travis Kelce, he's going as high as the first round at 106, and he's also going as low as the third round.
Absolutely. When I look at my tight end tiers for this year, I have Kelce, Waller at one, then a gap, Hockenson, Kittle, Andrews, and then a gap, Kyle Pitts, Noah Fant, and then everyone else is all together. So
I got to know, why do you have Kittle in a separate tier from Waller and Kelce?
Because I do by the point expected points, and I have 228 and 216 points for Kelce and Waller respectively. And then it jumps down into 177 to 182 is Hockenson, Kittle, and Andrews. So it's not based on what their ceiling or floor is. It's based on my projections. I project them to all be closer together, and Darren Waller and Travis Kelce to be further apart.
See, I mean, because the reason I'm asking this is because Kittle has shown more consistency than Darren Waller. You know, Darren Waller just had a phenomenal year last year, and we can all acknowledge that. Kittle was hurt last year, but when Kittle came back, it was like he never left. In those last two games that he played, he was incredibly efficient. You know,
yeah, and but Darren, Waller now has two seasons in a row with over 1,100 yards. He's averaging over 75% of his catches, passes caught. He's averaging six touchdowns a season. He's done it too. Saying that, you know, Waller is less consistent. Well, no, they're equally as consistent, except Waller hasn't missed an NFL game.
I mean, I'm not totally disagreeing with you. I'm just saying that, you know, I think you're kind of undercutting Waller a little. I mean, Kittle a little bit. You know, I
don't think so, because I think he's incredibly good, and I think this year is a year set for the resurgence of the tight end position. I think guys like Pitts, guys like Hockenson, guys like Fant, guys like Gesicki, Tiny, and these guys all have that chance of stepping up there. And instead of years past where we had three tight ends, I think we're going to have seven viable week-to-week tight ends this season. I just don't have Kittle at the top, because Darren Waller, because we're talking about the Las Vegas Raiders, is just a baller. I have him career high 1,200 yards, career average 7 touchdowns, and that just about puts him at tight end 2.